Now, the third, so we have PERT, Project Evaluation Review Techniques, either shown as activity on arrow or activity on node. Okay. Now, going to the critical path method. Now, the critical path method also is a network diagram which specifies the tasks that have to be done in sequence one after the other and the tasks that occur in parallel. Okay. Now, the specific set of sequential tasks upon which the project completion date depends, or the longest full path, is called the critical path. All projects have a critical path. Accelerating the non-critical tasks do not directly shorten the schedule, whereas accelerating the critical functions or the parameters can actually, you know, help you to reduce the project's development cycle. So this is the critical path method. So if you see, here circles are representing the, what are the circles representing? Representing the events. Then you have event A, which will take 3 days. Then you have event B, that will take 2 days. Then you have event D, which will take 3 days. So you can see each and every activity. And if you see, the critical path starts from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you have any delay happening in these activities, then you will have a delay in the overall project. Whereas here, if there's a delay happening, it may not impact the project significantly. Let us look at the critical path method. Now, the critical path method is a process for determining the sequence in which different activities happen and finding the critical path across the activity. Now, activities along the critical path have to go in a perfect sequence if you want the project to be implemented on time, whereas the non-critical path tasks can start earlier or later without really impacting the completion date in a big way. Now, critical path can change or reduce if you find another method of developing the same, or another method or another process for doing the same software or the same project. Okay. Now, typically the critical path method should be done in conjunction with you and your functional manager, so that we have an agreement on the steps that will be used in developing the software project or any other project. Now, in the critical path method, we have four types of task dependency. The first one is called the mandatory dependency. Now, the mandatory dependency has a hard logic dependency. Typically, it is, say, for example, if you have to, wash your clothes, it is important that you put the dirty clothes into the washing machine first, before you can start the washing machine. So this is a hard logic dependency. The nature of the work will dictate the order in which the work will have to be done. So this, you cannot start the machine, for example, without putting the clothes into the washing machine. Or you cannot start the machine. So you first have to put the clothes, and then you have to put the detergent, and then you can only start the machine. So the logic of the work will determine the order in which it happens. Example: coding has to precede testing, or user interface design has to precede user interface implementation. Okay. The second task dependency is the discretionary dependency. Now, discretionary dependency has a soft logic dependency. Now, this dependency is determined by the project management team, who decides what is critical, what can be done first, and what can be done later. Okay. Then it is process driven. And it is discretionary, therefore it is, the order in which things have to be done are typically determined by the project head or the project manager of the module. The third one is called the external dependency. Now, external dependencies are outside of the project. For example, there's a release of a third party contract, or there's a contract sign, a third party product, or there's a contract sign off. Or parts of the project are being developed by a third by an outsourced third party, and only when that thing is developed and brought to you can you start doing work on something. So other examples are stakeholders, suppliers, Y2K, year endings, which are external dependencies on the project. Then you have resource dependencies, two or three tasks that rely on the same resource. You know, for example, you have only one database administrator, whereas you have multiple database tasks in the project. So then the scheduling has to be done depending on the importance of the job to the project. Now, these are the task dependency relationships. If you see the first one, the first one is finish to start. B cannot start till A finishes. For example, A is construct the fence, B is paint the fence. Okay, so this is a finish to start. Okay, B cannot start till A finishes. Then you have start to start. B cannot start till A starts. So this kind of representation, if you see on the right hand side, is a start to start task dependency. B cannot start till A starts, which means you pour the foundation and level the concrete simultaneously. So once you start pouring the foundation, you also start leveling the concrete simultaneously. So this is typically a start to start finish. Then you have a finish to finish dependency. B cannot finish till A finishes. So for example, B cannot finish till A finishes. For example, add wiring and B inspect electrical wiring. Then you have something called start to finish. B cannot finish till A starts, which is very, very rare. So these are the different kinds of task dependency relationships that you find in a typical critical path method. May also have an impact on the PERT, project evaluation and review technique. So this is an example of how you can define the tasks. So you have a task A, then you have a task B. Now task B can only be done once A is completed, whereas task A and task C can be simultaneously done. Task F cannot be done till task C is completed. Then after task C and task F is over, you have this period of lag over here, because you have to finish task B, the task B has to finish the next in the sequence, which is task E, and then take the task G. Only when they come to the task G, the output of this process will be integrated over here, and the output of this process will also be integrated over here. Okay? And after all these tasks are over, you do the final task H. So this is how a typical thing works. Now, graphical techniques for plotting project schedules. Now, the following graphical techniques are normally used in presenting the project in a diagrammatic form. It is called the Gantt chart. The second one is called the resource chart. The third one is called the PERT, critical path method diagram. And the fourth one is visual work allocation chart. And the fourth one is typically called the visual work allocation chart. So let us understand what are Gantt charts and how are they used in monitoring and planning and scheduling projects. So Gantt charts are very useful tools that are used to analyze and plan complex projects. They give you the sequence in which the tasks have to be done. They help you to plan out the tasks that need to be completed, give you a basis of scheduling when these tasks will be carried out, allow you to plan your resources according to the start and finish time of each of the tasks under the project, and help you to work out the critical path of the project where you must complete a project in a given time frame. Now, when the project is underway or when the project is going on, then the Gantt chart help you to monitor the progress of the project and whether the project is on schedule. If it is not, it also allows you to pinpoint the remedial action necessary to put it back on schedule. Now, in the Gantt chart, you may have sequential and parallel activities. In the critical path method, some activities are dependent on other activities being completed first. As a shallow example or as a normal example, it may not be a good idea to start building a bridge before you have designed it. So that could be an example of designing coming before the building. Now, these dependent activities need to be completed in a particular sequence, with each stage being more or less finished before the start of the next activity can begin. We can call the dependent activities sequential activities or linear activities. Then you have other activities that are not dependent on any form of who do not have a dependency on any other activity for being completed. Now, these may be done at any time before or after a particular stage is reached, and these are therefore called the non-dependent or parallel activities. Now, to draw a Gantt chart, follow these steps. First, list out all the activities that you have in the plan. For each activity or for each task, show the earliest task date, the estimated length of time, and whether it's a parallel activity or a sequential activity. If the tasks are sequential, show which stages they depend upon or what are the dependencies. You will end up with a task list like the one in figure 1. This example shows the task list of a custom written computer project. We will use this same example for both the sections and the section on the critical path analysis and PERT, and therefore allow you to compare the results of the two approaches. So if you see, for this, the recourse chart, for example, resource chart as it is called, analysis requires 4 people, developing module requires 4 people, developing the smaller module requires 2 people, and the resource chart will be as under. So this is a typical resource chart. Then a PERT CPM chart, another derivative of the Gantt chart is a PERT CPM chart. Multiple time estimates are used for each activity that allowed for variation in the activity. Activity times are assumed to be random with assumed probability distribution. Activities are represented by arrowed lines between the nodes or the circles. Now, critical path method is a tool to analyze the project and determine the duration that is required complete the project. Knowledge of the critical path can permit the complete management of the project to change and manage the duration of the project. A single estimate for activity was used that did not allow for variation in activity times. Activity times are assumed or to be known as predictables. Now, over a period of time, PERT and CPM have merged into one technique and they are referred collectively together as PERT-CPM. They are visually easier to see precedence relationships and ideal for large projects with many activities. They consist of a network of branches and nodes. So, this is a typical PERT-CPM activity. So, if you see, here is activity 1. I mean, this is the start time. Now, here is system development, which is proceeding from here in this direction. Simultaneously, recruitment of people is happening and equipment installation is happening, which are parallel activities. Okay? So, system development. Then you have manual testing happening over here. While you have over here, recruitment, orientation, and job training happening. So, after the manual testing is over, these people after job training join over here and they can do the system training, system testing. After the system testing is done, this activity of system training happens and the system changeover happens to the new system. Simultaneously, in parallel, another activity called equipment testing and modification is happening, and then the final debugging and the system handover is happening over here. We have done the activity on node and activity on arrow before. In activity on node, the nodes represent the activity and arrows show the precedence relationships. Whereas in the activity on arrow, the arrow represent the activities and the nodes are the events for points in time. A dummy is inserted into the network to show a precedence relationship, but it does not represent any actual passage of time. So keep that in mind. Okay, so it's another example of a PERT CPM chart. Okay. Here it is showing all the different activities. This is the different activities that are happening. And this is the approximate cost of doing each activity. So most PERT CPM chart, if you see, most network activities are typically estimates. As we have done before, the estimates are arrived by experts or people who are experienced in determining these estimates and or people who have actually worked on these estimates or worked on similar projects in the past. Okay. Now, the activity scheduling, which is the earliest start time, that an activity can start is called the ES, the forward pass. Start at the first node and move forward through the network to determine the earliest start time for an activity. Then you have the earliest finish time, which is EF. The earliest start time plus the activity time gives you the earliest finish time of any activity. So the earliest start time IJ plus the activity time will determine the earliest finish time of any activity. Okay, now PERT CPM charts, how to make them. These are the steps that you follow. First is define the project and all its significant activities. Then determine the precedence relationship among the activities. Thirdly, estimate the time needed to complete each activity. Draw a network diagram connecting all the activities and, you know, label it with time estimates. Compute the longest time path, which is a critical path through the network, and use the network to plan, schedule, monitor and control the project. So that's how you use the PERT CPM. So for example, a company must install a complex air filter system in its main smokestack. So what is the activity? Activity A, build internal components. What are the time it takes? 2 weeks. B, modify the roof and floor? 3 weeks. Then 3, construct the collection stack. What is the immediate predecessor? A. This is going to take 2 weeks. Then pour concrete and install frame. That can only happen when B is completed, and 4 weeks. Build high temperature burner, which is dependent on C getting completed, will take 4 weeks. Install control system will also be dependent on C getting completed and will take 2 weeks. Install pollution device will depend on D and E getting completed and will take 4 weeks. And inspection and testing can be done only after F and G are completed and will take 2 weeks. So this is an example of a typical project network on with an arrow on arrow diagram. So this is the start of the project, stage 0. Then you can see this is 1. Activity A will take 2 weeks, then activity B will take 3 weeks. So this 1, 2, then 3 is like this. Activity C, which will take another 2 weeks. Here we have activity D that will take 4 weeks. Then you have 3 leading to 4. This will take 4 weeks, and then simultaneously these two activities, which will give us 5, and then we have H, which will give us 6. So if you see up to here, all these activities have been built on the network diagram. How long will it take to complete the project? One has to check the critical path method. So how do you calculate the critical path method? You can calculate, so this is 3 plus 4 which is 7, 7 and 4, 11, 11 and 2, 13. Or it can be 2 plus 2, 4, 4 and 4, 8, 8 and 4, 10 or 12. So this is the critical path. 0, 1, 2, 0, 1, 3, 4, 5 and 6. So this is the critical path. It will take 12 weeks to complete the entire project. Sorry, 14 weeks to complete the entire project. So it is 2 plus 2 plus 4 plus 2, 14 weeks. So got this understanding of how the critical path is calculated. Then we have a dummy activity. Suppose activity K. Where is activity K? Over here. So this activity K, estimated time of 9 hours or 9 weeks, has a predecessor which is E. So where is activity E? Which is activity E over here, which is trying to give you activity E, which takes 4 weeks, and activity J, which has this thing, 7 weeks. How should the K activity K? So this is K, which is a dummy activity. Now a dummy activity forces one activity K to follow another, which is E. So where is E? So it is following E. So it is, this is the dummy activity over here, which is following E. So this is the earliest time that will be taken for an event. EJ, the time that the event J will occur if the preceding activities are started as early as possible. Now forward pass, compute EJ for each J beginning at the first node and moving forward. So this is how it works, EJ. So this is the earliest event time from the start. If you take the previous diagram, the expected time to complete the project is 14 weeks. Slack time for an activity provides a window of when an activity can start. So ES is the earliest time for a given activity, and this is equal to the length of the longest path from the start node to the tail of the activity. And LS is the latest time a given activity can start without delaying the project. So slack time for an activity IJ is the latest time minus the earliest time, which is equal to EI. Now in this case, the critical activity has a slack time of 0. So you cannot afford to wait. So these are the typical examples of PERT CPM. So now let us look at the visual task allocation scheduler. People who work in the knowledge industry, called knowledge workers, typically in the IT enabled services space, do not like to be closely monitored and supervised in, you know, similar to manual workers, say in a production setup or a shop floor of a manufacturing company. Visual planning tools and visual planners are used very extensively in the IT sector to determine who is doing what task at which point in time. Okay, now of course the project schedule must be maintained on an overall basis by everyone. I mean, that anyway goes as an unwritten rule, okay? But within the project schedule, how each software engineer or knowledge worker is working is left to that software engineer or project engineer, and to give them a sense of freedom as well as a sense of, generates a sense of, commitment towards the project. If you see the next slide, this is how a visual task planner looks like. Now, this is how a visual task planner is used by the project manager to understand, who is a team member. Say, in this case, it is Sriram. Sriram will be focusing on task 1 in week 1 and task 2 also in week 1. Okay. When he goes to the week 2, it is assumed that task 2 will be over. He will focus on task 1 and task 1. So, task 1 is a longer job, task 2 is a smaller job. So, and this will continue. Swati will do task 3 and task 4 in week 1, and then she will join Sriram on task 1. So, this is how a visual task planner works and allows the project manager to see which resource is working on which element of the project. Now, of course, the projects are monitored through network diagrams, as we discussed above, before also. As we said, all network diagrams show us precedence, they show interdependencies, show us which activity follows which other activity. It allows us to calculate the critical path and allows us to perform what if exercises. Okay. Disadvantages of network diagram: a default module assumes resources are unlimited, and you need to incorporate this in, this yourself when determining the real critical path. So it is very difficult to follow on large projects. Now, program evaluation and review techniques, which are based on an idea that estimates are uncertain, therefore uses a range of durations, and the probability of falling in a given range. So, we use a minimum maximum range to determine the time slots over here. We can also use an expected value or weighted average to determine the durations. Okay, and then we use the following methods to calculate the expected durations and use that as an input to work out the network diagram. Typically, PERT starts with 3 estimates. One is optimistic, would likely occur one time in 20, most likely, which is the modal value of the distribution, and pessimistic would be exceeded only one time in 20. And then it is combined to create an estimate of the task duration using the formula, where TE is the expected time is equal to A plus 4M plus B divided by 6, where A is the optimistic time estimate, M is the most likely time estimate, and B is the pessimistic time estimate. So this is the formula that can be used to calculate the estimate of the task. Now the confidence interval can also be determined based on standard deviation of the expected time using a bell curve. S is equal to B minus A upon 6 for the whole critical path. And for the whole critical path, you can use this equation, S critical path, or the standard deviation of the critical path is equal to square root of S1 squared plus S2 squared plus Sn squared, which is the square of the square root of the individual standard deviation of all the activities. So, this is the PERT formula. So, here is the example. For example, planner 1 description, modal value is 10 days, planner 2 is 10 days, A is 9 days, B is, which is the most pessimistic, 12 days. Therefore, the PERT time is 101.6 days and this is 11.5 days. Okay. Standard deviation over here is half a day and standard deviation here is 1.8 days. Okay, so this is how it is. Advantages of PERT charts, it accounts for uncertainty. Disadvantages, it is time and labor intensive to prepare it. Assumption of unlimited resource is a big issue. Lack of functional ownership of estimates is mostly used on large complex project. Nowadays, we use PERT software to calculate all these values for us. CPM versus PERT, okay, both use network diagrams. CPM uses deterministic values, whereas PERT uses probabilistic values. CPM one estimate, PERT uses three estimates, and PERT is now very infrequently used in the industry. Milestone charts are also sometimes called bar charts. Some of the simple bar charts are also called simple Gantt charts. Will show just the highest summary bars on a milestone basis only. So, if you see, for example, the next chart, this is a bar chart showing each activity. So, you have requirements, analysis, design, and the length of the bar is equivalent to the duration of that activity. So, this is a very simple bar chart determining the how the project is going to move, and the start, this is the start and it moves from left to right. This is again a Gantt chart, but this is a complex Gantt chart which is giving the starting of each and every sub step. If you can see here, the duration of every activity is specified in number of days, and then you put a start date in, the rest of the days are calculated by the software, and this is how the chart looks like when on a visual basis, on a diagrammatic basis. Now here in the disadvantages, it does not show interdependencies well, and it does not use the uncertainty of a given activity as it is done in PERT. But the Gantt chart is very simple to understand, simple to create, simple to maintain, simple to use. Okay. Of course, now softwares now show dependencies among tasks in Gantt charts. In the good old days, Gantt chart did not show these dependencies, and bar charts also typically do not show this. Modern Gantt charts are able to show them via software. One of the key things in a project is what can be done to reduce the project duration. Can we reduce the project timelines and time schedules? Of course, we can. We can reduce the timelines by reducing the scope. We can reduce the timelines by reducing the quality. We can reduce timelines by adding resources. We can reduce timelines by concurrently taking up multiple activities in parallel and substituting activities. So, these are the methods by which you can reduce the timeline of a project duration. Typically, you want to shorten the overall duration of the project. We call activities called crashing. We look at the cost and schedule trade-offs. We gain the greatest compression with the least cost. Add resources to critical part tasks, limit or reduce requirements in terms of scope, do extremely just the necessary activities to complete, and change the sequence of tasks to reduce the time. Or we can do fast tracking by overlapping of phases, activities or tasks that can otherwise be sequential, may involve some risk and may cause some rework in case some activities do not fit the succeeding activities. So that has to be taken into account. That is important to understand. This completes our chapter. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And this chapter was extremely long and must have taken a lot of your attention to really understand all the inputs. But nonetheless, thank you so much for your attention.